this is ridiculous. It's Moshe Rabbeinu picking his own brother. It's nepotism. This whole thing is a big baloney. And Karach says, Kolei de kulon kadosh v'seichem Hashem. Every yid is holy. Why do you even need a kohen gadol b'chlal? This whole position. And you don't need a kohen gadol. We need a Moshe Rabbeinu. This whole thing. Everyone's holy. What do you need? So here's the question the Farshim ask. The question is, Aaron HaKohen was already appointed as a kohen gadol way back. So what took Korach so long? I mean, if Korach has this issue with Aaron HaKohen being the Kohen Gadol, and he uses that and sort of just, you know, to him it triggers this whole thing that you don't need any leadership and everyone's the same, everyone should be equal. Why did he wait till after the Meraglim to raise this rebellion? Aaron HaKohen was, again, appointed the Kohen Gadol already after Har Sinai, so right then and there he should be upset about it. But yet, for some reason, Korach waits till after the whole Meraglim is over. And even though you could make the argument maybe that's just where the Torah puts it, that maybe the actual rebellion happened earlier, because we know that Chumash sometimes is out of order, but it's clear not like that, because when Moshe Rabbeinu he sends a message to Dasan and Aviram, two of the co-conspirators of Korach, to come and have a conversation with him, they say that we're not coming. Why? Because it's enough that you already stopped us from being able to go to Eretz Yisrael with the spies. So clearly, this conversation with the whole story of Korach is happening after the Meraglim. So that's the question. What took Korach so long? All right, so it's like this. To really appreciate this, why Korach's rebellion is only festering and is only coming up dafka now after the Meraglim, we have to think a little bit about what was going on with the Meraglim. So, you know, Chazal say a crazy thing. Chazal say that one of the reasons why the Meraglim came back with a negative report and they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael is because they didn't want to lose their position. Right? They were the Nesiim. They were the heads of the tribes at the time. And they knew for some reason, this we have to explain, for some reason going into Eretz Yisrael would have meant that they would lose their position. They didn't want to lose their position. So what does that mean? So it's like this. I only just need one, really. The thing is like this. There are two areas in Avodas Hashem. There's, I guess in a more general sense, you can say Torah mitzvahs. What's the difference between the way of serving Hashem that we'll call Torah? When I say Torah, I also mean tefillah, I also mean tikkun amidos, anything that's not tangible. There's a side of Yiddishkeit about serving Hashem with an intangible way, knowledge that you learn, davening that you say, midas that you work on. And then there's a tangible side of Yiddishkeit, like actual pair of tefillin, a mezuzah on the doorway, you know? What's the difference between the two? So the difference is essential, which is that when it comes to Torah, or the side of Yiddishkeit, which is not tangible, so, see, we're back, yeah, Mikey's back, he's good to go. So the Torah, the way that side of Yiddishkeit is that it by its nature, it results in different madrigas. Because let's say Torah learning, which is about knowledge. So there's always going to be different madrigas. There'll be some people that know more, and some of them know less. Davening, how much avodah do you put into it? Okay, well that's going to be a personal thing, depending on each person. Some people are going to be more fiery. Some people are going to be less fiery. How much like tikkun amidas? How much like self introspection does a person have? Okay, so it depends on the person. Some people are going to be more. Some people are going to be less. So the world of Torah, that sort of part of Yiddishkeit, which is the intangibles, it automatically there's going to be different levels. But when it comes to mitzvahs ma'asiyos, it's not like that. You could have all the kavana in the world, and in terms of kavana, the spectrum could be all over the place, going from like the biggest tzaddik to the most simplest guy. But at the end of the day, the mezuzah is the same. And so when it comes to mitzvahs are the great equalizer. That everyone is, you know, again, you could go to the mikveh 50 times before you put on your tefillin, but when you put on the tefillin, everyone's putting on the same way, more or less. I mean, you know, some differences in custom, but nothing really major. The Sefer HaKadoshim tell us that in the Midbar, what made Eretz Yisrael, that what would Yiddishkeit look like in Eretz Yisrael versus the Yiddishkeit that looked in the desert before we got to Eretz Yisrael? In the Malchus, in the kingdom of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, the focal point of what Yiddishkeit was not physical mitzvahs. Of course, they kept physical mitzvahs, but the real place that physical mitzvahs really flourish is in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Eretz Yisrael, that's when you have all physical mitzvahs, they kick in. in the Midbar, under the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Inyan, the Avodah, was Torah. And again, when I say Torah, I mean learning, davening, the intangibles of Yiddishkeit. Therefore, the entire Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu was intangible. It was in the desert, the place of desolation, the place of isolation. Nothing was physical. The food wasn't physical. The protection wasn't physical. Nothing was tangible. And in that place of the intangibles of Yiddishkeit, there's a hierarchy. There's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's an Aaron, there's the Nesiim. There's a whole system. Because, again, in terms of your personal mental capabilities and emotional capabilities, everyone is different. The Nesiim, the Meraglim, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, they felt right away that Eretz Yisrael is going to be a major shift. Eretz Yisrael is going to shift from the focal point being Torah and that sort of introspective intangibles of Yiddishkeit. Eretz Yisrael is going to mean mezuzah on the door, tefillin on your arm, and that's going to be the focal point. And the Meraglim, therefore, that's what the Meraglim are describing, is that they didn't want Eretz Yisrael because they would lose their position. What does it mean they would lose their position? It means that until now, in the desert, the Yiddishkeit's focused on the intangibles, so we know where we are. But when you get to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to lose our position. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael means that the focal point is just having mezuzah on the door. The mitzvah maisi is the physical act. And the physical act, every yid has equal footing. And so this issue of last week's parsha of yes Eretz Yisrael, no Eretz Yisrael, was a major, major conflict that we still sort of feel to this day, especially by the Chassidim and Misnagdim. That was another major issue, which is what is greater, Torah or mitzvahs? What does God want more? Your personal, like, what makes this world holier? The more emotional and mental energy that you expend within yourself, or just having the mezuzah on the door? And the Meraglim said, we don't want Eretz Yisrael. We want to stay in the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. We want that world of hierarchy, that world of, there's, you know, where it's all about Torah and it's about the intangibles. Yeah, of course we'll put a mezuzah on the door. There's no question about that. But actually, the actual mezuzah on the door is secondary, say the Meraglim, right, to the Avodah, to the Hachana, to the Kavanas that are involved before you put the mezuzah on the door. But what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're dead wrong. The tachlis is Eretz Yisrael, right? The Meraglim, end up dying, last week's parasha, and the whole Jewish people are now wandering the desert for 40 years, and Hashem is very upset. In other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu, what's concluded in last week's parasha is that all the hachana and the avoida and the nigunim that you put in as you prepare to put the mezuzah on the door, it's amazing, it's kavaldik, and that's where there's differences between Yidden. But the ikkar is putting the mezuzah on the door. And the ikkar is Eretz Yisrael. And in terms of Eretz Yisrael, it's shavu chol nefesh. Everyone's good. Everyone's the same. So last week's parasha, again, the mistake of the Meraglim was what is leaning too heavy on the side of the hachanas, on the avoida, on the emotional, on the intellectual, on the sort of the avoida within the person. And because of that, they said, we want to stay in the midbar. But Hashem says, you're mamish wrong. The ikr is what's going to make this world a place of dir b'tachtoinim. What makes this world a place of Hashem to rest in this world is what? Is the actual mezuzah on the door. And that's Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, that's the conclusion of last week's parasha. The conclusion of the Meraglim is that the ikkar is mitzvahs ma'asiyas, actually doing the mitzvah, in which case, everyone's the same. So now that Korach hears that, and now that you have the story of the Meraglim, which solidified to everyone in the entire generation, that the ikkar is mitzvahs ma'asiyas. So now Korach says, okay, so what do we need a Kohen Gadol for? What are we making ourselves crazy having Moshe Rabbeinu? I understand in terms of Torah and in terms of Avodah, you need the tzaddik and you need a hierarchy. I get it. But we just learned in last week's parasha, and Korach was living it, they were mamash living it, they just saw with their own eyes that Hashem is Baruch Paskin, that Eretz Yisrael is the Iker, right? In other words, that the mitzvah ma'asiyas, that's really the ticket of making this world a holy place, is the focal point is the actual mezuzah on the door. So says Korach, so what do we need this whole thing of a melech, of a king? You don't need that for. I understand, when you go to yeshiva, you have to have a rabbi, I get it, because in that world of Torah, you need a rabbi. But when you take a step back and you just, Yiddishkeit? Yiddishkeit should not have hierarchy like that. There shouldn't be Kain Levi Yisrael in Yiddishkeit, because what is Yiddishkeit about? What's ultimately the most powerful aspect of Yiddishkeit? Well, I just saw from the Meraglim, is Mitzvah Maaseis, it's the physical mitzvah. And in terms of the physical mitzvah, everyone is the same. Kol Eidu Kulum Kedoshim, U'Vaseichem Hashem, U'Madu T'Snaso Kal Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you seeing yourself as the leader, as the greatest? Why are you creating this system of hierarchy if the focal point of Yiddishkeit is not in an area that allows for hierarchy? If Yiddishkeit was really fundamentally about the hachon and the avoid and the hergish and the Torah and the tefillah within the person, then I get it. Then that means that every single day we should say to ourselves that we're talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Yiddishkeit is about that inner, intangible avoida, and in that area, there's chaluk and madrigas. There's a difference between the tzaddik and the average person in terms of the hachon that they put into mitzvahs. But again, once you're telling me from the Meraglim, the ikra is mitzvahs maisis. So this is dafka why Korach has his rebellion. As I mentioned in the beginning, the question is, why does Korach have his rebellion against Aaron, against the kahuna, dafka now after the Meraglim? It's the Kohen Gadol, Aaron HaKohen has been the Kohen Gadol for like over a year already. So what's taking so long? The answer is, because now that the Meraglim took place, and it became clear that Iker is Mitzvah Maaseis, so now Korach rebels. But then what happens? Korach is wrong. So which one is it? Which one is it? So, in the story of the Meraglim are wrong. The Meraglim say the Iker is Torah, the Avoda, the Hachana. No, that's not true. The Iker is the actual mezuzah on the door. So, Korach, well, if it's mezuzah on the door, then we're all the same with that. No, you're wrong. It's about the Hachana and the Avoda. So, the Meraglim are right. Can't have it both ways. Is that Caleb and Veil?
It's a Sukkos Kavanah, the Kavanah is a part of the
Avoda. Oh, very good. Okay, so you guys got it. There's a Vart from the Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya says, you know, in Chazal, mitzvahs are not just called maisim, right? They're called maisim toivim. So Baal Tanya said, why is it called maisim toivim, good deeds? I mean, the way the Baal Tanya put it is like, anything that you're doing that's not a mitzvah, it's not called a maisa. Like, what are you doing? It's a maisa koif balmi, it's like a monkey. Like, if you're doing something that's not an avodas Hashem, then it's insignificant. So if Chazal are describing you as doing something, of course it's a mitzvah. So what does it mean, a ma'isa toiva, a good deed? If it's not a good deed, then it's not a deed at all. So Baal Tanya said the word toiva, ma'isim toivim, the word toivim, like the pasuk says, when Hashem saw that He created the world and He saw the light, He created the light, and the yaralekim es ha'arki, He saw the light that it was good. The word toiv doesn't just mean good. The word toiv is describing something that's shining. Said the Baal Tanya, and this is mamish fundamentals in Yiddishkeit. It's true. The Meraglim taught us, and it's 100% true, that the Iker way, the main system through which the Rabbanu Shalom comes into our world is through Mitzvahs Maaseis. Mrs. Maaseis, dear B'tachtonim, the way in Chassidus, the way it's described is that when a person does a physical mitzvah, only with physical mitzvahs, and this is a crazy idea, but only with physical mitzvahs is the essence of God brought into the world. The essence of God. There's a difference between, I mentioned this once before, there's a difference between experiencing like God's presence, but then there's God Himself. Like God makes Himself known with miracles, right? He can make Himself known, but that's not who God is. Where's the moment where I come in contact deeply within myself, in this world, with God Himself? That's when you do a physical mitzvah. Physical mitzvah. And that's the irony of it, because you would think physical is so far from God Himself. But it's not like that. God is so unbelievably great that it's specifically in physical mitzvahs that He resides the most. Dir b'tachtoinim. That's what Hashem wants. Dir b'tachtoinim. And that's true. But here's the kicker. Said the Baal Tanya, it's true that the physical mitzvah is what brings Hashem into this world. But with the hachana and the kavana that you put into it, mitzvah srichas kavana and so on, that's what allows that truth of the Rabbanu Shalom to make itself known. What you want is two things. When, for example, you want the description of Chazal is that Hashem wants to live in this world. He wants this world to become His home. So there's such a thing that a person can be at home, but You know, they say a story with Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker was like huge in Achnasas Archim. His house was like a train station. It was like well known. That all the schleppers and poor people, his house was Mamash Rishos Arab. So there was a famous story that he was sitting in his own home, on the dining room table, learning whatever he's doing. And another guy, just a guest, is sitting there next to him, eating whatever it is and doing something. And he's now making conversation with Reb Chaim, the Baal Boss. thinking that it's just another person. And so he's, you know, it's such a lovely home. You know, the person, the Baal Bus, is so nice for having us all here. Do you happen to know him? And he's like, yeah, I got to know him once. You know, like, he's having this conversation. That meanwhile, Reb Chaim's son was sitting there watching this, like, laughing. Like, you're the Baal Bus, and the guy's treating and talking to you like you're the guest. So there is such a phenomenon where you can be the Baal Bus. You're in the home, but no one knows it. And you're not expressing yourself as the Baal Bus. It's not a mice and plevim, you understand? It's not shiny. The Rabbanu Shalom is here by having the mezuzah on the door. But Reb Chaim was also at home at that moment, but he wasn't shining as the Baal Bus. What the Rabbanu Shalom wants is to be here and to be known as the Baal Bus. For that to happen, you need this combo of both. You need to do the mitzvahs ma'isiyus that actually makes the Rabbanu Shalom the Baal Bus. But you also need the avodah and the structures and the kavana to allow that truth to be manifest. And then that mezuzah is different when it's done with all the kavanas and all the hachanas. I mean, this is, you know, there's many, many stories like this from big tzaddikim for example, there's a whole maisa that there was a particular pair of tefillin from the Rebbe Melech. It was his pair of tefillin. And there was a whole situation when he was nifter, where the tefillin went to, and so on. And to make a long story short, there was a particular case of where one of the Einiklach, you know, claimed to have his pair of tefillin. It was like a machlekes amongst the family, like who actually had the pair of tefillin. You know, it was like one of these. So, to make a long story short, both of these Einiklach found their way by davening by one of the great tzaddikim of the time. I can't remember who it was, but maybe the Abderav, not the Abderav, the Sanzerav. And they came to the Sanzerav, and they happened to be Damish Achers. And the Sanzerav knew that there was this famous debate in the family who actually had the tefillin. And the Sanzerav went over to one of them and said, "You got the tefillin." He said, "How do you know?" "I could see on the tefillin. That's the Rebbe Meir's tefillin. I could see it." So what does that mean? It's the same tefillin. Like, everyone's putting on the same tefillin. But because of the Avodah, the Rebbe Melech, the tefillin are different. The Baal Bus of the tefillin, which is the Rabbanu Shalom, is shining. It's a meisim toivim. That's what's going on. So both the Meraglim and Karach, they're both wrong. The Meraglim are saying it's just about the Avodah, just about the Achana, just about the Kavana. That's not true. The Baal Bus is not home when it's just... if the tzaddikim, like, they make a whole avodah to make, you know, to put the mezuzah on the first door of the house, whatever it is, if they do all that avodah, they go to the mikveh 50 times, but they don't actually put the mezuzah on the door, and the Rabbanu Shalom is not there. So the Meraglim are wrong. But then Karach is also wrong. To say that it's just about putting the mezuzah up, and who cares about anything goes before and after, that's also wrong. Because it's true the Rabbanu Shalom is there if it's a kosher mezuzah, but he's not the Baal Bus. He's like Reb Chaim sitting at his own dining room table, and no one knows that he's the Baal Bus. The real truth is Moshe Emes v'Sei Rosei Emes. The real truth is both the Meraglim and Karach put them together. The Iker is Dir B'Tachtoinim, and the way to have Dir B'Tachtoinim is that Aleph, you need to bring the Rabbanu Shalom here, and that's only with Mitzvah Ma'asiyos, and Beis, you have to make him known as a Baal Bus, and that's with Avoida and Achana and Astraxus. That's the union that's taking place in these parashas. That's why, you know, it's well known that the Arizal said that, you know, it says in Pasuk by Mizmor Shel Yom HaShavuos, Tzadik Katomer Yifrach, right? Tzadik Katomer Yifrach, that the Tzadik will sprout, will grow like a Tomer, like a palm tree, like a date tree. So the Arizal said, Tzadik, the last letters of those words, Tzadik is Kuf, Katamar is Reish, Yifrach is Ches, that spells Karach. That even at the end of the day, Asalove, Karach will have a tikkun, he'll find his way back. Why is Karach hinted to, particularly in that pasuk? If Tzadik, Katamar, Yifrach. A tamar, Chazal say about the palm tree, is that it's different than other trees, right? A palm tree is like it looks different, like the trunk is like mamish straight, and only the very, very end are there leaves. It's ein lo ela lev echa lavina shoshma. It has one heart. Everything is directed in one, everything is going in one direction. The tikkun of Karach is represented by the tamar, by the date tree, by the palm tree, is that everything is going to the same place. There's no longer this conflict. Taira, mitzvahs, I do this, I do that. To me, the ikar is the avoida. To me, the ikar is the mitzvah. Ein lo ela lev echa lavina shoshma. One direction, one place, everything is cohesive. There's not a branch coming out of here, another branch coming out of there. There's a mahalach over here. And the answer is mitzvahs ma'isiyas, but the more hachan, the more avoid that we put into our mitzvahs, the more the balabas that's being brought into the world by the mitzvah is making himself known. No, shbizach to become yidden like that, to be people that have one heart and one mind and one focus, and realize that all these streams, whether it be mitzvah and Torah and davening, all these streams are focused on one thing, you know? It gets to one place, which is the ikar tachlis of revealing Hashem in this world, making this world his house, and making everyone, all the guests in the house, know who the Balabas is. Shabbos Zaycha to have that clarity. V'yis Mashiach Tzakeinu, M'her V'yameinu, Amen.